and now evangelist David Shannon.
Oftentimes we can't help but to feel, because of our very nature, that we're left alone. Maybe there's a heartache or a sorrow in our life and we feel like, well, our family's just not supporting us like we thought those certain members would. And we turn to our friends and it just seems like those friends that always know exactly what to say and what to do, they're just not there like they usually are. And then it seems sometimes that even God isn't there. We just thought that God would always be there and that we would always be able to put our finger on this certain fact or this certain source of strength and say, well, that's God helping me through this time, but yet maybe in a particular instance we can't find that certain thing to put our finger upon and we say, even God has abandoned me. Don't you know that that's very much the feeling that Mary and Martha had? You see, here Jesus in John, the 11th chapter, is a very close friend with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So certainly, without doubt, when Lazarus was very ill, they sent for their close friend. But yet, it seems as if that close friend, Jesus, just might have let them down a little bit. You see, close friends are supposed to drop everything when something happens. And they're supposed to run to your side and to give any source of encouragement and to carry out any acts of duty that they can, because they're your friends. But Jesus was even more than that close friend to them. Jesus is the one that has convinced them, and we see in this chapter that truly He's convinced Martha, because when He asked her, Martha, do you believe? She doesn't just believe that He's powerful. She says, yes, I believe that You're the Son of God that should come. Notice, should come. She's listening to the prophets of old, saying that that Messiah is coming. Oh, she believed with all of her heart that Jesus was that Messiah. You see, He was supposed to come immediately. He was not only supposed to be that friend, but He was supposed to carry out some great feat to comfort them, carry out His duty. But yet it seems that He just wasn't there when He should have been. I'm sure all of us have experienced times like that. And it leaves us confused. I'll be honest with you, in preparing the lesson for tonight, I've had some confusing moments. You see, I would very much love to suggest to you this evening, well, you can see Jesus comfort you in this way, in this way, in this way, but it's not anything like that. You see, I cannot give you any neat little package and say, this is how God will help you through this problem. And oh, over here you have this problem, I'll just reach back and I'll get this package that God's put together and He'll help you with that problem. And someone over here has this problem, we'll reach back and get this package that God's put together. You see, the first thing I have to realize tonight is that God's care cannot always be put into a neat package. It's hard for us to realize sometimes that even though God is there and God does care, I can't always point out the area that He's helping me with. Now that by any means is not to say God is not there, that God is not helping me. He is there and He is helping us as Christians. We have assurance after assurance throughout the Scriptures. But because of our lack of knowledge, lack of holiness, because we are just humans, we're not gods, we do not always know what that source of encouragement is. One danger we often fall into in trying to put our finger upon these neat little packages is that very oftentimes we try to tell God exactly how we want to be helped. Think about how dangerous of grounds that's standing on. God, here I am. I know I'm just a human and I know that You're much wiser than me, but in this particular instance, if You are the God of comfort, You comfort me in this way. You take this wrong and You make it right in this way. What is that really saying to God? Really, that's truthfully saying, God, I know best. And God, wipe aside your wisdom. Just push it aside. And you do what I say for a while. Don't we even oftentimes do that to our own relatives and our own friends? We have a problem and we already think ahead of time what so-and-so is going to do. And then so-and-so over here is going to say this and everything's going to be so good because they're just going to pull together and they're going to help me exactly the way I have in my mind, and then they don't. And we think they've let us down. What did they really let down? All they let down is the expectation we had. It doesn't mean that just because they didn't do it, they were wrong. It doesn't even mean that they were not thoughtful. The fact is that oftentimes what we have in our mind, we tend to think that's the way it should be, even when we deal with God. We need to be careful about thinking about these neat little packages. So oftentimes we might even treat our spouses in this way. Well, you know, if he loved me, he'd do this or this. You know, if she loved me, she wouldn't do that. She would do this and this. And we lay out these neat little packages of the way things should always be because that's the way we think it should be. You know, God has reasons for His actions. He has reasons when He does not react at all. And I suggest to you this evening, we're never going to know all the whys. We're going to live in a world of wonder. I wonder why God didn't. Or I wonder why God did. I wonder if God even had anything to do with this situation. We'll never know all of those answers this side of eternity. We need to face the fact that life is not a neat little package. You know, the truth is, if we look at verse 14 in the 11th chapter, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now this is what He was saying to His disciples as He was trying to communicate them the importance of them traveling on and meeting Mary and Martha. They were fearful that the Jews there would kill them. Finally, He says, Lazarus is dead. You see, the fact is, Lazarus was already dead before he left. The fact is that when Mary and Martha were disappointed because He didn't hurry to arrive, that just didn't fit in to what they had in mind. The situation would have been the same even if He would have. How I need to learn from Mary and Martha and Jesus this evening. The second thing I'd like to point out this evening is the beautiful thing that God does feel our hurts. You see here as we look at Mary, her heart was broken. He turned around and He looked at the Jews, their hearts were broken. He knew from speaking to Martha that her heart was broken. But the fact remains, He knew before He ever left to go to see Lazarus, He was going to raise him from the dead. But He still groaned in His spirit. And then a couple of verses down from that verse, we see that as He walked to the tomb, He was still groaning. Brethren, there's only one reason why He would be groaning. And that is because those around Him hurt. He was not hurting because He didn't get to say goodbye to Lazarus. He was not hurting because He wanted to have just a few more days to visit with His friend. He knew those things would happen. He was hurting because those around Him were hurting. This evening, simply because we can't put our finger on everything that God does to comfort us, let's believe that God and Jesus and the Spirit, they feel as we feel. Oh, when great news comes, let's believe God rejoices with us. And when terrible news comes, let's believe that God feels that pain with us. And just as Jesus wept there because the others wept, let's believe He still does. We still serve the same God with the same truths. But then there's a third point tonight. And that is, even though Jesus was in hurt, He wanted to teach them a lesson that when they were hurting, turn to the Father. As we notice there, he went out to the cemetery there, if that's what you want to call it, a burial place. The Scriptures tell us that it was a cave and that there was a stone rolled in front of that cave. And he commanded that the men move or roll that away. Now one of the ladies there reminded him, "Now Jesus, it has been 4 days. The body's going to stink." He said, "Do you believe me? Roll away the stone." And at that time he prayed. He turned to the Father. And he said he wanted to turn to the Father so they would know what to do. The first thing he said in his prayer was that there's a prayer of gratitude. He thanked the Father for hearing him in previous prayers. I wonder how many congregations across America had special prayers, maybe even special prayer services when our troops went into their first conflicts just a few months ago. I wonder how many of those same congregations had a prayer of thanksgiving when it ended. Oh, we humans are so likely to forget to thank God. We're so quick to ask God and too quick to forget God. We can see since the beginning of mankind that's been our weakness. And here Jesus begins by teaching them to be thankful for prayers that have been answered in the past. But then he goes on and he prays a prayer of confidence. A prayer that he says that he knows that the Father hears him. James tells us of that same assurance, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he prays that prayer and he says, "Rise forth, Lazarus." And he does. This evening, again, I say to you, I almost feel insufficient preaching this lesson to you because it is a lesson that I can't take and give you concrete facts about how to deal with your problems. But I can tell you, don't feel uncomfortable because your life is not a neat little package. And always remember that Jesus hurts when you hurt. He rejoices when you rejoice. And then thirdly, always remember to turn to the Father. This evening I'd like to close by looking at verse 44. "And he that was dead, Lazarus, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." This evening, how many of us are bound by sin? How many of us are wanting the problems taken care of in our life? We're wanting the sins taken care of in our life, but yet instead of opening our life up and saying, "God, I want to serve You. I want to seek You first in Your righteousness," we're saying to Jesus as He says, "Let me come unto You," we're saying, "No, Jesus, I'm not opening that tomb. No, Jesus, this is a closed life. Don't enter into this door. No, Jesus, I will not roll the stone away." You see, brethren, I can't tell you this evening that if they would have refused to roll that stone away, that He still would have raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, there are certain things that men are to do before God will do His part. The only way I can be loosed from the sins, from the entanglements of the world, and to be free by Christ, is if I roll that stone away and I make my life an open life to God. And I say, "Come in, Jesus, and live in my place." And we crucify our old self of sin. And we start living Christ-like. This evening, are you free or are you bound by sin? This evening, Jesus wants to say to you, if you're bound by sin, loosen him. Take those sins away. be free. That can be your choice. If you're not a child of God, I encourage you to repent of those sins in your life, to be baptized, to wash those sins away once you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you have become a Christian but yet you have fallen, we all fall. Just don't stay bound in the sins.